Okay, and today I'd like to talk to you about when sin becomes a trivial thing. That's not an exclamation point. That's really First Kings. First Kings chapter 16, verses 29 to 34. When sin becomes a trivial thing. And I sort of got the feeling this when I started thinking about where we are at this juncture in this country and in the world in general, in this society, and even in the church. We have come to a point where I believe that we don't even want to mention sin. You know, it's not a thing that you talk about. I mean, it's gotten to a point where you can't even say yes, sir, no, ma'am, and yes, yeah, you know. Because, I mean, how many of y'all grew up saying that? You were giving distinction and honor to older people, and if it was a woman, you said it, ma'am, and if it was a man, you said, sir. Well, do you realize we come to a point now where people are being said, well, you know, they want to be identified, you know, how they want to be identified or not identified. So you can't say, yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It's becoming a point we see God's word is no longer right. Man is becoming in control of things and what children should not be seeing, or if there any sin at all. And it's 1 Kings verse 16, I mean chapter 16, verse 29 reads, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the king of Omri, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had become a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took his wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, I got to learn to read, the king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Hillel of Bethel built Jericho, and he laid his foundation with Aram, his firstborn, and with his younger son, Segub, he set up his gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Well, there's a lot going on in there. I don't know if y'all can even grasp all that, but first of all, you have this king Ahab, and the scripture is telling us Ahab and one of the things we want to understand about Ahab was his lineage. And the reason that's important, because Israel at one time was ruled by David, the apple of God's eye. They had the right king. And then from David, it went to Solomon. And that's when things went bad. And a 40-year, from 40, David ruled 40 years. And after David, Solomon came along. And Solomon reigned another 40 years. But Solomon did some of the more wicked things you could do. He started marrying all these women. His heart was no longer for God. And from that, because God said, because your heart ain't no longer for me, I'm going to split up the kingdom of Israel. The kingdom of Israel. It was a united 12 tribes united. After Solomon, there was a division. From 12, there was 2 left for Judah, and there was 12, 10 for Israel. They got split up. And Jeroboam became his king. And the thing about Jeroboam becoming king, he said, you know what? I ain't going with the God of Israel and everything. I'm going to set a whole new God up. We're going to set up a whole new place of worship. He set out to change Israel from a God, the God of Israel, to this new God, Balaam. And from Jeroboam, we get to Baasha, who was Jeroboam's offspring. And then we had an overthrow, and Eli takes over, and he becomes even more wicked than Jeroboam. And we keep on going. Zimri, who gets even more off the pace. And you know that little saying that, I don't know if you ever did construction, but they said if you start at going someplace, if you want to go someplace, you have to go in a straight line, right? What happens if you go off, you're off on that straight line? It seems like you got started with an angle of one degree. When you get out here a long distance way, you way off the mark. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about sin that seems like a bit little thing when it starts out, but when it finishes, it like we say, that's a trivial thing. Sin is a trivial thing, but we're going to have to answer the question, is it sin of disobeying and having sin really a trivial thing? I think this scripture or this sermon will help discern that. Lord, help me. I'm just getting a little. And then we have Omri. And then we have Ahab. And you're going to find out how trivial sin became on Ahab. Let's see. We're going to find out what King Ahab's sin was or were. Okay? Now, the king, if you notice, God had intended for king to be righteous rulers over the people. David was a king after God's name. He was a righteous ruler. He did things to make sure that the people were taken care of according to God's guidelines. But King Ahab came along, and his thing is, he decided, well, I don't care about God. He decided doing evil in God's sight, the Lord's sight, was okay to do. How many of y'all know the Ten Commandments? You know them? How many of y'all follow them? You tried to? How many of you don't are not bothered by the Ten Commandments and whether or not you keep them? How many people think the people of the world nowadays even know or care about the Ten Commandments? How many of us say this nation, it claims to be a nation under God? Claims to be now. And yet, if we look at the leadership of this nation, we have to say, we lying. We're not a nation under God. We do not honor the God we say we do. We have Ahab in control of this nation. I'm sorry, I'm just going to tell it. They can get mad at me if even they go out there. We have an Ahab in charge of this nation. Because he does evil in the sight of the Lord. Donald Trump does evil in the sight of the Lord and will say, I don't care. He flaunts it. He boasts of his unrighteousness before the Lord. In fact, he don't even know what the word of the Lord says, because he don't even read the Bible. They ask him, what's your favorite sweet? I don't know nothing. I can't even give you one verse from the Bible. Never heard him pray. And when he goes to those conventions, even like he went to the prayer thing, a prayer is supposed to be the National Day of Prayer or something, that this past week he went to it, and it was supposed to be a time where reflection and prayer of talking about unity and goodwill toward man. He went up there and used the political forum to rant and rave against some people he didn't like because they said he did something he didn't like. Woo! He's doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And he married a Jezebel. Now, Jezebel, how many of y'all heard of Jezebel from the Jezebel? Jezebel was nice, but her father worshiped Baal. She loved Baal. She's a worshiper of Baal. Baal was the people who worshiped Baal believed in sacrificing children. They had all kinds of wicked practices that went against the word of God. And yet, King Ahab sets up there and says, I'm going to marry that woman. I don't know why he ends up marrying, but he ends up marrying her. And with that, just like T.A. says, sometimes you can marry somebody you don't have that connection with, or have some differences of beliefs and stuff, but you don't want to marry Jezebel. If you marry Jezebel, it's going to be bad news for her, because she's going to want you to do all the wrong things, and that's what Jezebel did. She gets in and married. He marries a Jezebel, and she was nothing nice. And because he married Jezebel, he served and worshiped Baal. Baal is probably the worst god you could worship. Because again, like I say, he believes in sacrificing, believes in human sacrifices, and he believed in the money and all these sacrifices, just all the worst things you do. I probably had orgies, and you think of anything you think of that was wrong, the god of Baal believed in it. If you believe in Baal, you might say, it was a religion of hedonism. Y'all know what hedonism is, right? Hedonism is all about pleasure. What that song we sung, it's your thing, no. Do what you want to do. It's also like, if it feels good, do it. That was a Baal. That was Baal. That was where Baal was. If it was good, do it. If it was for it, if it was benefiting you, it was okay to do it. And not only that, but he set up an altar for Baal. Now, let's go back and look at this. Now, he's of the Jewish heritage. He's coming from the people that God chose, that he brought out of Egypt, Moses brought him out, and God gave him 10 commandments. And what's one of the commandments God gave? What's one of the commandments? One of the first three commandments God told his people not to do. Yes. And he said, don't make up another image. Don't make an image that represents me. Don't make a wooden, no kind of image. You can't make no handmade image and worship that. And yet here is Baal, here is Ahab making up an image and setting it up in Baal. An altar. Not only an altar, but remember, there's an altar, I'm sorry, and here we go. The second thing he did was he built the temple for Baal. In other words, God had already established his temple in Jerusalem. But now, they're going to set up and say, we don't want that temple. We're going to set up our own temple for Baal because we now worship Baal. Like I said, in that, first, let's look at it. He decides to serve and worship Baal. He sets up an altar for Baal. Then he builds a temple for Baal, and then he puts a wooden image in there. Three, four for four. He's doing four for four of the things that God said. First, God says in the Ten Commandments, you can't serve and worship any other God but me. He said, don't set up any altar but for me. He said, the only temple you need to build is the one. He said, I don't want a temple built by hands or with a man-made temple. The temple I want is the one that I declare to be made. And then lastly, he says, don't make any wooden images. Don't create any carvings, anything that will represent me. And here Ahab does all four. A perfect four for four. And it became a trivial thing for him to do it. A trivial thing. And then I'm going on to 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. We're going to find out what happens as a result of him doing that. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was fear, famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was in charge of his houses. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was while Jezebel sacrificed the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 to a cave and had fed them with bread and water. So, you see, this Jezebel that he married did something even that like say, four for four. Now, what's the next thing they did? They go and God said, touch not my anointing and do my prophets no harm. Not only did they touch God's prophets, but she went and massacred God's prophets. Five for five. Woo, Lord have mercy. Like I say, if they said sin, I mean, once you cross that line, see, the thing about crossing the line of sin and don't have, once you cross it, you ain't scared then. You're going to keep on going. Why stop? And we see that as a result of this, King Ahab comes up with a sins. Again, the sin was that he allowed the prophets of the Lord to be massacred by Jezebel. And it didn't bother him. It did not bother him. It's sad when you can do wrong and go against the word of God and you don't have a conscience about it. Would you want to be in that situation? There are some people who are in that. Again, let's look at that president. He does these things and has no conscience about them being wrong. And the thing about it is, anybody steps up and tries to tell him he's wrong, he gets mad at him and puts him out. He started talking about doing something, and only people he want around him are the ones that were telling him he's doing right. And even he's got even men and women that supposedly are following this. President Trump now has men and women supposedly following this, saying, you're right. Do what? Do that, Trump. That's right. Kill those people. Do all these things you're doing because it's right. You do no longer have to follow God. So it says in 1 Kings 21, verses 47, so Ahab went to house sullen and displeased because the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned his face away and would not eat no food. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food? He said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite, and I said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give up my vineyard. Then Jezebel's wife said to him, you now exercise authority over Israel? Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give the vineyard of Naboth. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth. So, you know, again, we found out that he's went and decided to worship Baal. He's decided to build an altar for Baal. He decided that he'd build a temple for Baal. He decided he'd build an image for Baal. He decides that he can do these things, kill God's prophet. On and on. He's doing these things, and it won't bother him because, again, like us, we trivialize sin. How many of us can say, honestly, say, we don't trivialize sin? We trivialize sin nowadays because we're afraid to speak out about wrongness. We're afraid of somehow when we speak out that we're going to offend people. Would you rather offend God or man? See, that's the question. Are you willing to allow man to trivialize sin to the point that you won't even speak out? And as a result, there's no restraint on Ahab. And so Jezebel being his wife, there's no restraint on Jezebel. And so Ahab says he sees this field he likes right near where his palace is at, his temple, his place of residence. And he sees it, and it's owned by this man named Naboth. He has it. Again, having your land was land being passed down onto generation after generation after generation was a very serious business. It was something that you passed on. A lot of us don't know that because we've never had family inheritance passed on to us. But this was something serious. It's considered almost sacred because, again, one of the things that if we look back in those times, the oldest son was generally the one that inherited the land. It was a very serious business. He was probably looking to pass that land down to his children. So when the king comes and asks him for it, he said, no, I'm not selling. This is my inheritance. And he goes away sad. Ahab goes away sad. Now he's sad. His wife looks at it and finds out he's sad and what the problem. And she says, you exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, let your heart be merry. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth. See, I don't know about y'all had to go and read this whole story. I hope I'm giving you bits and pieces. I'm dragging out bits and pieces of it. But unless you go and read this whole thing, you won't get the gist of Ahab and Jezebel and see how wicked they are. Jezebel says, he won't give you that land. I'll take care of it for you. So, you see, King Ahab's problem this time, he lusts. He lusts after this land this other man had. And remember, God says the fruit, one of the things that we got to watch out for when we're in this flesh. We can lust for things. We can look at something that somebody else has or covet it. He coveted that man's land coveting lust, same thing. He coveted that land that man had. And as a he it also, because he coveted it and he thought, just ask a man for it, he could get it because he's a king. When he doesn't get it, his pride is hurt. His pride is hurt. King Ahab's pride is hurt. So this is what's going to be the next result. Moving on in our story, we find out that if we don't, the part I'm not going to read about is that Jezebel decides that she's going to have that situation resolved. And the way she resolved it is she tells the people, some of the people, to have a celebration, this feast. And at that feast, invite everybody. And one of the things I want you to do is have some people stand up and denounce Naboth that he had blasphemed. He had blasphemed Baal. And as a result of that, he was going to be denounced and get killed. You denounce our God, you get killed. And so this is where we pick up from there. And after she does that, King Ahab gets, she said, wipe yourself off. I've taken care of the problem. You got the land now. Go ahead and be happy. But remember, God is the ultimate judge over things. He's the ultimate ruler. He's the one that ultimately makes things right. And you know, how many of y'all heard it said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all don't believe that? I know I believe it. How many of you experience the Lord being righteous and avenging you when you've been something been wrong done to you? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I want to tell you, you ain't experienced nothing like when God gets revenge. Okay. Then he says, arise, go to meet King Ahab of Israel who lives in Samaria. This is, he's talking to the prophet. Then there he is in the vineyard of Naboth where he goes down to take possession of the land. You shall speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dog licked the blood of Naboth, dog shall lick your blood, even yours. And so Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your prosperity. I will cut off Ahab, every male in Israel, both bond and free. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the house of Naboth, like the house of Bethel, the son of Ahab, because of the provocation which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall, And the dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab, and dies in a city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. See, God said, the thing that upset God was that the sin kept getting worse and worse to the fact that he made Israel sin. See, that sin of the leader got worse and worse and worse. And he trivialized sin. That he said, God said, you provoked me with anger. He said, what did you say? Have you murdered and taken possession? He said, you murdered. You murdered the man and took his land. You murdered and took his land. This is King Ahab. Y'all need to see one of the things I in talking to some people recently is I mentioned about Job and what Job went through. I mentioned about some other things, and I found out we have a lack of knowledge about our history, especially in the Old Testament. And I'm bringing this story up and this scripture and this message in order to challenge you to go back and read this story so you get the of it all in full. I'm giving you bits and pieces of it so I can make this message about trivializing sin. See, I want to try and use this whole passage here to help you understand the significance of trivializing sin, which we've come today now. We're the nation trivialize sin like it ain't no big thing. We don't even understand. We don't even want to use the word sin. Because sin means, as God says it, it's wrong. God says sin is what he hates, and sin is disobeying him. The consequences of trivializing sin. The consequences for Ahab, the dog will lick Abraham's blood from Naboth's land. Dogs will eat Jezebel by the wall of the city. Ahab's descendants would be eaten by dogs and birds. These are the consequences for Ahab and Jezebel for eating, trivializing sin. But what about us? In conclusion, Ahab had been appointed by God to be a leader. And truly, I believe even Donald Trump in this nation, God appointed him to be a leader. I'm a lawyer, may not like that. But how else can you explain for Donald Trump to be elected? Because God is the one to appoint the elect. And I know we say, oh, where you get it? Hey, to me, God's got a plan in mind with that. And to me, God is saying, he's the leader y'all deserve because y'all have trivialized sin. Did y'all know that? A lot of us do not understand that, but we have trivialized sin so long. We say, God damn, we do all these unrighteous things, all the things that we now do with sex and homosexuality, and everything goes now. And the Almighty Dollar rules, that's our God. And so God says, y'all need a leader that reflects who y'all are as a people. I'm going to tell you, Donald Trump reflects us as a people. We don't have real love for one another. That's what Donald Trump said, and that's a lot of people like that. Have y'all ever heard of some stuff Donald Trump said and how many people rally around that stuff? That's because they really believe that. He's seeing things they believe in light. So God has appointed a kind of leader that will help us see who we really are and help us really say, is that who we really want to be? Because to me, God, really, the real leader God wants is one who will appoint and follow God, one who will obey and follow God. You see, G.A. is a leader. He's a leader of this flock here. God appointed him. He has a pastor's heart and everything, and he's here. And God expects him to lead and guide us the proper way. Otherwise, G.A.'s got the answer to God for it. And we've got to believe that if leaders don't obey and follow God, there's going to be consequences like Ahab. And like I say, you don't want to have a leader who disobeys and trivializes God's command. But again, it seems like we're okay with that. Here in this country nowadays, it seems like we're okay with trivializing and disobeying God. Because how many of y'all speak out against it? How many of y'all really let people know that's not right? I mean, every day on my job, I'm in discussion with some people about things like this. And when it's, I try to let them know it's not, what's happening is not right. And I let them know that the Word of God says this. But at the same time, I realize that a lot of us want to try to answer, solve the problem by legislating the morality. You can't legislate people's morality. But I tell you what, you can have it controlled. The Holy Spirit can control a person's morality. And that's when we need to be in this book. That's when we need to be sharing it, because that's the only thing going to change it. We're getting more wicked and wicked every day. I know even most people will tell you it's worse today. Most people tell you it's worse today. People shooting and you're having all these people just out of the blue coming up and having these mass shooting, and they do bullying, and like I said, the people who believe in white supremacy is getting more and more and more, because we have trivialized sin to the point that people no longer believe there is a God, and they don't believe there's a thing as right and wrong. They don't believe there's no consequences. See, and really, when you look at it, whose fault is that? Whose fault is it that the world no longer believes there is a God? That the world no longer believes that if there is a God, that he's going to hold us accountable for sin? Who believes that? Why is that? I believe it's us. And see, the thing we got to continue to push, leaders like Donald Trump will be judged and punished. And guess what? So will the people who allow it. So will the people embrace it with him. They're going to be punished. See, that's the thing we in church today, we no longer say or hear. Sin. It's all about sin. We don't hear it anymore. We do not hear the point that the church's message is about. We are sinners, messed up. But God has sent something to deal with that. God has sent a cleansing for that sin. God has sent Jesus, whose blood will cleanse us from that sin. And with that, we can become the people God wants to be. But we are in denial about that. We're in denial about sin. And even if we say we, and most of us don't even believe in heaven, we may believe in heaven, but most people say ain't no hell. But you know what? I believe there's a hell, because if there is a heaven, there has to be the hell. The word God says there's heaven, so I believe there has to be a hell. And if there's a hell, I believe people are going to go to it. And one of the things I do not want is somehow someone that, if I could have just said one word, just one word, just spoke to them a little bit, they could have avoided going to hell. I could have been that person that they said God had meant for me to do. But again, we got to be busy about our job. We got to stop trivializing sin. I don't know, I can't say it enough, that we have to accept the fact that sin is real. And it's getting worse and worse by the day. And it's going to continue to get darker and darker and darker until we decide to wake up. Until we decide that we no longer will accept the trivialization of sin, that we will no longer acquiesce to unrighteousness. Sin. I challenge each and every one of us today to no longer allow sin to be trivialized, to allow the ugliness of sin and what's going out there in this world to be to the point where we become, you become immune to it. I think a lot of us now have become so to the point where we're immune to it. I'm going to stop right there. I know I've sort of hopefully given enough or maybe too much that will wake us up. And I'm going to challenge you next week when you come back. The challenge will be, will you have used this message as a catalyst to speak to one person about sin? Will you have the courage? Will you have the desire to please God to the point that you will speak to just one person about sin? That's going to be interesting. One. That's what that guy's been talking about. That one. Thank you.
Well, now that's a challenge. Will you have the courage? He didn't say two. He said just talk to one person. He asked a question earlier. He says,